Amen. Well, let's turn to the Word of God. Joel chapter 2, verse 23 and 29 to 29. Are you ready? Okay, let's go. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. Somebody say amen. And praise the name of the Lord your God. Somebody praise hallelujah. Who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. Tell your neighbor, my people shall never be put to shame. Verse 27, then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God. Come on, say it. I am the Lord your God. And there is no other. Turn to somebody else and tell them, and you shall never be put to shame. Hallelujah. And it shall come to pass, verse 28, afterwards, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, saith the Lord God of high. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know you're wondering why when I give you the title of my message, you've got to hold on to the title, because this is just the introduction. Today I'm going to minister to us on whatever it takes to get to Jordan. Hallelujah. We are going to Jordan. Turn to somebody and tell them, we are going to Jordan. In this service, it's a distance of 26 kilometers, about 30 kilometers, all the way from somewhere that we will begin. But we are going to Jordan. Come on, give somebody a high five and tell them, be seated in the presence of God and get ready for a Jordan trip. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. God is promising to bring an exciting season in somebody's life today. How many of you are ready for the season to change? Somehow you just feel you need a season change. A new season is coming. He urged, according to this scripture, he urged them saying, be glad, rejoice. I don't know when was the last time you were really glad, the last time you really rejoiced in the Lord your God, but I just want you to rejoice in advance, because God's already speaking about goodness in advance. Can somebody rejoice wherever they are right now and bless the name of the Lord? God says, rejoice, be glad, oh ye people of Israel. Hallelujah. Why? Because there's rain. He's not only have I given you some rain, but there's more rain coming. Hallelujah. That's why he's telling them, rejoice. They had had difficult times, they had had troubled times. Israel was suffering. Oh, God had held back, but this was time by the word of the Lord, by the prophet of God, to bring a new season into existence. Why was he telling him, be glad and rejoice, because he's the great I am, and he's going to cause it to rain again. We had it about, do it again, Jesus. Yes, he will cause it to rain again. Hallelujah. Can you remember a time when you're praying, you wanted to see God do something, and it took a while, and you're just hoping, God, when are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? You know, I can remember a time like that. I'm sure you can remember that with me, when our nation was having skirmishes and struggles and divisions. But you know, just not too long ago, a handshake changed everything. Let me tell you, God can use anything to change the season of a people, to change the season of a man or a woman, to change the season season of a family, to change the season of a city and a nation. God can use a simple handshake and do things no man could ever do or even dream or imagine. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21. It says, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. Wow. Who changes times? The Lord. Who changes seasons? The Lord. I'm here to announce that this same God is about to change the season of your life. He's about to move things and to shift things. Hallelujah. In a manner that nobody can bring them back to the way they were, because he's about, hallelujah, to bring increase in ways you never imagined. He promises to provide full barns of wheat. When he talks about wheat food, he says full. He uses the word full, and he says your wine vats will overflow. Hallelujah. And your oil, your olive oil will overflow. Your wine will overflow. That's your joy. Your oil will overflow. That's your light and your glory. Come on. He promises restoration. Everybody say restoration. Restoration means to give back, to build up again. Come on, God's going to build you up again. It means to repair, a means of healing. Restoration is a means of healing or restoring health. Maybe you've been attacked, your health. I've got the word of the Lord for you. That season is coming to an end. Hallelujah. That cycle is coming to an end. You're getting into a season of restoration of health and a renewing. It means to renewing of something lost. You had it, but it got lost. God's about to renew today in Jesus. And the biblical meaning of the word restoration is to receive. I love this. You better look at this. Is to receive back more than has been lost, to the point where the final state is greater than the original condition. Man, somebody missed a place to shout. Hallelujah. I repeat that, the biblical meaning of the word restoration. I'm saying it with a francophone accent. Restoration is to receive back more. Everybody say more than has been lost. How many of you have lost something lately? How many of you, come on, I just met somebody who lost, even when I was in Burundi, one of the pastors, they lost something and they were looking for it while we were there. People lose things. Hallelujah. But I want you to know God is a restorer. Hallelujah. Is to receive back more than has been lost, to the point where the final state is greater than the original condition. He promises in the end there to satisfy and to take away shame. Twice, when God repeats the same thing twice, he says, my people shall no longer be put to shame. I want you to know that the word of the Lord here today is stressing about this area, that God wants to lift you above the point of degradation, and that shame has brought in your life, devastation has brought in your life, trouble has brought in your life, calamity has brought in your life, so that you have no reason to look back in shame, but to lift your voice and be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God. Somebody shout amen. Now, how do we get to this place where my people shall never be put to shame? How do we get there? Okay. What steps must we take to get to Jordan? Because Jordan is that special place. We need to get there today. How do we get to Jordan? God wants to bring his church to a place of renewal, a place of revival, a place of refreshing, a place where we find his favor in abundance. Hallelujah. I believe God wants us to not only hear, but to also see what we hear. Hallelujah. Some of you have been hearing. I've come with some good news. What you've been hearing, you're about to see. In the name of Jesus, God has been saying things to you, and you you've been wondering when, how, when, Lord. I've come to tell you what you've been hearing from the Lord. You're about to see it with your naked eyes. You're about to see the glory of God even in your lives. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2 verse 30, Simeon entered the temple of God when Jesus was brought to be dedicated in the house of God in Jerusalem, in Shiloh. Guess what? When he came in, Simeon, he took Jesus. He spoke some words to the mother Mary. And then he said these very important words. For mine eyes have seen the salvation of God. Hallelujah. Some of you will leave this place saying, for mine eyes have seen the salvation of my God. Shout amen. Hallelujah. Now you say, is that possible? Of course. If you hear and then believe, all things are possible to them that believe. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, the first part of it says this, this is John speaking, that which we have seen and heard. Notice these two words, heard and seen. We hear before we see. But he says that which, he's saying, that which we have heard and that which we have seen, declare we unto you that you may have fellowship with us. Hallelujah. And that fellowship is in the Father, in the Son, and in the Holy Ghost. God's not sparing anything that he has. He wants you to fellowship in the fullness of his name, in the fullness of his power, in the fullness of his goodness. God's not sparing or holding back anything. Turn to somebody and tell them, God's not holding back anything from you. Come on, he wants you blessed. He wants you glad. He wants you rejoicing. He wants you happy. Glory to God. St. Paul said more or less the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He started speaking words, verse 5, verse 6, verse 7. He started speaking words and he said, I told you before that which we have preached to you, that you have heard and that you know and that you stand today because of what you heard and what you saw. And he says, now you're standing in that salvation and in that deliverance. He said, I want you to know that Jesus, he died. After 3 days, he was raised. And then he was seen. Then he continues to say, and he was seen. Everybody says, seen. He was seen, and he started taking who saw him. Over 500 disciples saw him. He said the 12 disciples saw him. And then he says Peter saw him. Paul said, I also saw him, being the least of the apostles. He's talking about those who saw him after he was raised from the dead. Let me tell you, he's not talking here about just a casual look. The word, seen in all of those accounts is the same Greek word. And it actually means this. It means to gaze. Those who gazed upon him. It means to gaze with wide open eyes. As at something remarkable. Not some voluntary observation. No mechanical or passive or casual look. We are not just talking about just glancing at Jesus. We are talking about you have seen something that you know is not ordinary. It's so extraordinary. Let me ask you, if you had a friend or you had a mom or a daddy or a brother or a sister or a good friend who told you, hey, I'm dying, but I'll see you later. And then you say, oh, yeah, you mourn and they go. Jesus told the disciples, I'm dying. And you will see me after 3 days. And that, they all mourned. On the way to Emmaus, when he met the two disciples, they didn't even recognize him. But guess what? Wait until they saw Jesus. The one they had not only heard about, but they had seen him in the natural, but never seen him in a supernatural way, having gone to heaven and returned full of glory. Come on, but watch this. What would you do if that friend of yours walks through your wall comes behind you and says, hey, I told you I'll be here. We need another barrio. You know, there better be a resurrector because we need another barrio right there. If it was your husband and it's your wife showing up and says, I told you I'll be here, and they come through the door and it's locked. They say, honey, there'll be no honey here. There will be barrio here. If you understand what I'm talking about, is gaze upon to look. This is not a casual look. No wonder these disciples were never the same again. God wants us to see something that never leaves us the same, that transforms us, because it has to be coming from the glory of God. Let's look at the process ordained for us to get to Jordan. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go. Okay, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. Actually, the whole account is from 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 14, and I decided I'm not going to read all those verses. You're only going to read one verse, then I'll explain as we move on. Chapter 2, verse 1 says this, and it came to pass. Everybody say, I say, and it came to pass. Can we read it together? And it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Number one, Gilgal. Write it down. Gilgal, the place of self-judgment and memorial. Gilgal, the place of self-judgment and memorial. Note this, first of all, that Elijah went with Elisha. That means he must have invited him. Hey, I'm going to Gilgal. Please come. Let's go together. As his disciple. And they went together. Watch this. Watch this. Because it's so important that in this beginning stage that you see who was involved and how they were involved. So they went together. Now, Gilgal is a special place. That's where Samuel, Israel's judge, started and was judging from. He was judging from Gilgal. In fact, some believe he lived there. Saul was king in this place. He was made king. He was king here in Gilgal. Later on, we hear of the deterioration of Gilgal because it was later used for illicit worship. What degradation. Things changed. Gilgal means a wheel rolling. Two things, a wheel, but also rolling, like to roll something. A wheel rolling. And this is a message here. We all have, before we can get to Jordan, we've got to stop at Gilgal. And God is bringing this church to Gilgal today. Because there's a place he's taking us and he doesn't want us to miss the significance of every point, every place in the seasons of our life. Every reproach, listen to this, every reproach must be rolled away. Everything God disapproves of, or that disappoints him, must be rolled away. Joshua in chapter 5 and verse 9, his scripture says this, and the Lord God said unto Joshua, this day, everybody say, this day, have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you, from off you. The reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal, and to this day. It was a place where all the reproach of Israel, those young people that had not been circumcised and were about to enter into the promised land, that's where they had an encounter with God. God wants us to still continue to understand that there are seasons that we have to walk in, and also deal with God in those seasons. Just like the servant of God led his disciple and his follower right into Gilgal. Now listen to this. He talks about reproach. That which brings shame. What is reproach? That which brings shame. We already talked about my people shall not be put to shame. Reproach is that which brings shame. Sin brings shame. Let me give you a definition of shame that I looked in the dictionary. Shame is a painful feeling of humiliation or distress by the consciousness of wrong. Shame is a painful feeling of humiliation or distress caused by the consciousness of wrong. Thank God that we have that conscience, the ability to sense and to feel. It also means a regrettable or unfortunate situation or action. That's shame. A regrettable. Some of us, we're here and we have regrets. Unfortunate situations, circumstances and actions maybe taken by us or others have brought shame. God wants to deal with regrets. God wants to deal with those painful feelings. God wants to deal with things that only He can do. You know, nobody say that we'll go through life without pain, but God is a good healer. God is a good worker that comes to restore, hallelujah, a condition of wholeness and wellness and gladness and joy, hallelujah. Gilgal is the place where the Israelites were circumcised and the reproach of Egypt was rolled away. Sometimes we need a man. You can't circumcise yourself. You need a man to help you. You need a brother, a leader, a cell leader, somebody to step in and you say, hey, help me. Help me through this difficulty. Help me through this struggle. And that's what God wants us to do. We've neglected that place. We've neglected His instruments. And God is saying, come and let me put my hand. Let me put my hand where I need to put my hand. Let me tell you something. If you will not judge yourself, you will be judged. If I will not judge myself, why do you have to wait for somebody else to judge you if you can do self-judgment, an evaluation, an examination? Where am I? How am I living? What am I doing? It's only when we do that and judge ourselves, that there can be a cutting away, a removal of those things that offend and hinder us from progressing towards our Jordan. Hallelujah. Tell somebody next to you, a new season is coming. See, don't blame God for what you can't change when you're keeping yourself from the people that can help you change. Hallelujah. And then you don't make the trip. I mean, I was telling the people there, I'm so grateful. Even when I went to minister with these pastors there, and I was thinking, man, I was looking at all these pastors coming from Malawi, from all these nations, DRC, Congo, you know, and Burundi and Zambia, and I'm thinking, wow, God, and I'm seeing what God has given us. I mean, I even told Pastor, I said, Pastor, you know, this just gave me a fresh revelation. Your impartation and missemi to us, your love, your care, all these years, I'm here of certain things that are happening there. God has been so good to us that we begin to see, man, you know, we take so many things for granted when God can actually, you know, use every element in your life to bring you to the place of destiny that He wants you to come to. Can I hear a good amen? Everybody say, God bless my cell leader. Don't run away from cell. Too much flesh will hinder us. Complaining, grumbling, slandering, giving excuses. That's the flesh taking action. That's the flesh acting up. Excuse. Excuse has never come from God. No excuse has ever come from the throne of God. Have you ever had God give you an excuse? Enyewe nilichelewa. Kulikuwa a few demons giving us trouble up there. But anyway, we've settled that thing. Yeah, what were you saying? Tell your neighbor, no excuse. Those people who are giving excuses need the knife. Galatians 5:19, these are the acts of the flesh. How do you know you need circumcision? A cutting away. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. That is extreme involvement in bodily pleasure. Whether through sex or drugs or alcohol and the like. Things that make you unfruitful. These things will make you unfruitful. Unfruitful. You can never progress. You can't be who you're supposed to be in the house of God. You can't do what you're supposed to do in the kingdom of God. You cannot fulfill your covenant commitment. And you're always, you remain at Gilgal. But I'm telling you, whatever it takes, we are going all the way to Jordan. Are you still interested? Hallelujah. Number two, Bethel. Everybody say Bethel. Bethel is a place of communion and restoration. Bethel is a place called the house of God, the house of bread. Genesis 28, verse 16 and 17, it says, Genesis 28, verse 16 and 17, it says, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Bethel is the house of God. Jacob realized, this is a special place. I thought it's just an ordinary place. Can I let you know the church is not an ordinary place? The church is not a club. You didn't join a club. The church is God's house. It is the house of bread. Hallelujah. This is the church of God. Bethel. Everybody say Bethel. We who are not a people have now come to worship like the Samaritan woman. She said, you don't know what you worship, Jesus told her. We are the people and the generation that worships God in spirit and in truth. Is it any wonder when Jesus left her, that woman became a worshiper of God? Her difference as a Samaritan, her tribe, and all those other statuses that she had, those things never took ground anymore because she was brought nigh unto Bethel. Hallelujah. That's what God has done for us. We were sinners drawn into the house of God. And when we come into the house of God and we lift up holy hands and worship like we did today, His glory comes down. Restoration comes. How many people have come to the church of God with nothing and today they have abundance? I know people who came to this church without shoes and today they have a PhD. I know people, I'm serious, I know people who came walking, today they are driving. I know people who have come, they couldn't even witness to a mosquito, but today they have followers following them everywhere. Where they have received boldness like a lion to proclaim the gospel of the truth of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. This is the house of God, Bethel. I mean, Jacob was so moved that he even vowed, I'm going to give my finances here. Now, when a man or a woman commits their finances to something, you know it is serious. Amen? You know it is serious. It is the place of worship. It is the place where Ruth came to Bethlehem, Judah. A Moabite, separated from the covenant people. But she came and ate with Boaz. I'm telling you, it's where the place Mephibosheth sat with King David at the table of the king. And even though he was lame, he ate as if he had no problem at all. What grace, what love. What restoration. At Bethel, God gives us His care, His protection, His assurance, His provision, and the revelation of His purpose. Many people never have a purpose until they enter the house of God, and God shows them. Many have been called from the house of God. Isaiah was in the temple worshiping and he had, who shall go for us? And he said, here am I, send me. Men and women of God from all generations have found their purpose in the house of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So what am I saying? I'm saying get involved in the house of God. Some of you, you don't understand. Jacob said it is the gate of heaven. Some of you, the problem is that you got saved and you stayed at the gate. But the ministry and the blessing is not at the gate. You've got to go past the gate. Nobody ministered to you at the gate when you are coming, and yet you are coming to church. Until you enter here, you will not hear the things that God wants you to hear. You will not do the things that God wants you to do. So stop hanging around the gate of heaven. The gate that is call the church. No, get into the presence of God where you can commune and experience restorative grace in Jesus' name. Shout amen. The church is not a museum where you go and see fossils. There can be persons or things that are outdated and that are resistant to change. Come on, turn to your neighbor and tell them, I'm not resistant to change. Come on, just preach yourself happy before I hallelujah. Outdated things are found in museums. Come, how many of you are glad the church is not a museum? We don't come to see what used to be. It is a current, relevant, vibrant organism that cannot be ignored or sidelined. Shout yes! The church is not a cemetery. Ah, where all hopes are gone and buried. All dreams are gone and buried. It's not a cold place like a freezer. It's not a freezer where we try to preserve things. Oh, hallelujah. Some of you are preserving meat at home, but don't preserve anything in the house of God. God will preserve it himself by fire. Hallelujah. The Bible calls us living stones. We are not dead stones. Hallelujah. That's why we are not a museum. We are lively, active, prophesying, giving. Hallelujah. Producing. Yeah, 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 yeah. We are not dead stones. We are the light of the world. We are the hope of the nations. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Hallelujah. Then he says, let us go. And he says, let's go. By the way, I'm sorry. He did not say. God reaches a place, he will bring you in, but he'll not keep pulling you. Going to Gilgal, let's go, Elisha, to Gilgal. He got to Gilgal. There was a cutting away. There was a separation. That's good. He didn't say from Gilgal. He said, that's 8 kilometers, okay, from Bethel. And they said, let's go to Bethel. He didn't say, let's go to Bethel, sorry. He just said, I'm going to Bethel. You, what you decide is up to you. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And he went to Bethel. Elisha, and I pray that is your spirit. Elisha said, as surely as the Lord my God liveth, and as you live, Elijah, the prophet of God, I will follow you to Bethel as well. And he followed him to Bethel, the place of worship and communion, the place of restoration. Come on, you need restoration. You're in the right place. This is where God heals, delivers people, sets people free. Do you know how many people have been healed in the house of God without an altar call? Come on, you miss a better place to shout. You're being touched right now while you're clapping. How many are being healed right now while you're hearing the word of God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. It is the place. Wow, what a beautiful place. Then he says, I'm going to Jericho. Number three, Jericho, the place of obedience and victory. The place of obedience and victory. Joshua had to hear. Now choose to obey the word of God and victory will be yours. You wonder, can I have victory? Can I win? Can I triumph? Yes, you can. How? How? Obey the voice of God. Obey the word of God. We can preach until we are blue in our face. We can teach school of leaders until we are blue and pink in our face. But I tell you, until you say, I'm going to take this word, it's mine. I'm going to obey the voice of God. It might not feel nice. It might not feel good. But I'm going to do it. It might cut me through. But I'm going to take it and I'm going to obey and I'm going to do it. You'll never see the victory God has ordained for you. Turn to your neighbor, tell them, I want victory. Jericho is the place of the curse, but God wants us to believe even though we cannot see. Maybe you can't see it clearly. God wants you to believe that the blessing will prevail over the curse. Blind Bartimaeus was in Jericho and he heard Jesus was coming. He believed to see. Why? He had been hearing. Hearing what? He had been hearing about this Jesus. Now it was time for him to see. Tell somebody next to you, it's time for you to see. You've been hearing the word of God. You've been reading the word of God. You've been proclaiming the word of God. It's about time you see the word of God. Miss Rebecca taught us, for those of you in the creative arts, and she's also ministered here in church during times of praise, and she said, many shall see your song. Imagine seeing a song. How do you see a song? How do you see a song? Man, that's talking about the real thing. Not just hearing it, but seeing the song. Hallelujah. God wants you to see it. Hallelujah. Now, listen to this. God always gives us an opportunity to receive based on what we have heard and believed, and we will see. Between our obedience and victory is the challenge. Don't compromise His word just because of the challenges that are coming. Things that are telling you it won't work. It's impossible. Who do you think you are? Don't be moved. Obey God. 1 Corinthians 1:27 and 28 says this. God chooses the foolish, the weak, the lowly, the despised things to shame the wise, the strong, and also to nullify those things that are with those things that are not. He calls those things that be not as though they are. That's why sometimes you can say, I'm healed, and people are saying, but I can see you still have the rashes. You tell them, brother, change your eyesight. I'm the healed of the Lord in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you are saying, I'm healed, and you're confessing it, but you're not taking a step to walk. Walk. If you die, die in the hands of Jehovah God. Can I hear a good amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To believe the impossible, one must see the invisible. Let me finish this point with this. It says, one must see the invisible. Mark chapter 8, verse 25. I preached on this some time back. It says, Jesus, watch this. Jesus made the blind man look up. He touched him the first time. He asked him, do you see? He said, men as trees. Jesus made him look up. Everybody say, look up. You tell me, what's the significance to a blind man for looking up or looking down? What difference? He can't see. There's no light. And I realized that all he had to do is what God, Jesus told him to do. Some of you are questioning what you've been told to do. Some of you are battling and compromising and trying to look for other ways. If God tells you go south, he didn't mean north. If God tells you don't jump, he didn't tell you sit down. That's why some of us should receive instruction. Unless you're sick. In fact, even when I wasn't feeling well, I come to this church. Whoever is conducting and says, let's all stand. I stand even if I'm struggling. I said, this is your opportunity, Lord, to heal me. Unasimama tu kwa imani. Hallelujah. Uganja itakuondokea na hasira katika jina la Yesu. Amen. Amen. Shish. Tell your neighbor, look up. God will not fail you. You will not die. You shall live and not die. Finish with this example. Joshua took Jericho by obeying the word of God, and God gave them the victory. Remember what happened? He says, go around. How many times? Seven times, but six times before you say anything, right? And they did it. One, two, three. You know, sometimes we have to obey even when we're not seeing anything. Just obey the word of God. You know, nothing seems to be happening. In fact, what do you think was happening? To them, they were not doing anything. They were not saying anything. Just walking, routine. But the other guys, what were they doing? Angalia hawa, useless boys. What are they doing? Going round, round, round. God, you wonder what a rude application. Just do the same thing. What? Oh, umekuja leo wewe. Let me explain to you. Let me tell you what they do. They come here. They have some guys going ahead. They go round. They come back. You know, people play around with the church like they think we are jokers. But they don't know the power of God is invested in the house of God. Hallelujah! They went round and finally said, shout, the command of the Lord. They shouted, my friend, and that which nobody could bring down came down. I'm telling you, come on, can you give God a shout for 10 seconds? Shout and give him the glory. Give him the honor, give him the praise. Again. In Jesus' name. Woo! Now, then he says, I'm going to Jordan. Guess what? He reached Jordan. They reached Jordan. The place of death to self. Listen to this. Jordan means a descender. I'm taking a minute and a half. Jordan means a descender. It means to pass, descender, something that descending. 320 kilometers, the river Jordan comes from Lebanon into the Dead Sea. That's where it ends. So it's called a descender. A descender is to pass from a higher place to lower, to pass by inheritance or by transmission. Elisha had to wear Elijah's cloak. Jesus died without a coat, without a cloak. In Luke 24 and verse 49, he said, you shall be clothed. You shall be clothed, talking to the church, from on high. You must be willing to give up something to get something. It is here we give up ourselves and take all of God. Paul said, I die daily. I die daily. New wineskins. New wine for new wineskins. We must die to self. Keep your eyes on him. And at that point, as they passed the Jordan, he said to him, because he was taken at that point, he said to him, listen, they had already crossed. He said to him, after he took the cloak, he said, where now is the God? After he had already asked, give me a double portion. In fact, Elijah asked him, what do you want? I'm about to be taken. He says, if you see me, listen to the word, if you see me, when I'm being taken, the chariots of God came, a fire came, and he was taken. He says, then you will have whatever you ask. If we go through these processes, God will not deny us anything. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. It is your turn now and mine for God, the God of Elijah, to do the miracle in your life and through your life in Jesus' name. Come on, can you give Jesus a hand clap of praise? Isn't God good? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're moving from Gilgal to Bethel, from Bethel to Jericho. No battle is too great for you. From Jericho to Jordan, where the waters part, where the miracles take place. That same anointing that healed, that same anointing that resurrected, not only in Elijah and Elisha, life, but also in Jesus' life in the New Testament, is upon us, and we are the change elements that must bring change even to our world, to our homes, to the church. Your involvement and my involvement. And I'm praying, if you've just been coming to church today, you'll ask yourself, why am I just attending church? Why don't I understand what Jacob understood? What is it that I don't see? I can't stand at the gate of heaven. I need to enter the temple of God where I hear his voice. And then do something with what you're hearing. I am asking you, if you're not involved in this house in anything or ministry, pray about it and look for a way. Go to your pastor and tell them, how can I serve? What can I do? Maybe it's going to be a new ministry. That's okay. What's in your heart? Share with your leadership. We want to see everybody blessed, because those who serve in the house of God, God will stand for them as well. Hallelujah. Come, not as a spectator, but a participator in the glory of God. In Jesus' name. Come on, raise your hands. I want to pray for you right now. Father, I want to thank you right now for just ministering, releasing the grace of multiplication today. Raise your hands. I'm speaking to conditional situations today. Father, today, Lord, the widow's oil will be multiplied. Today, the need for that business will be supplied. Today, that which has been lost is being recovered. Today, the dead shall rise again. Today, you're sending a refreshing, a renewing. Today, there must be a breakthrough in the name of the Lord. Today, there is healing in the house. There is healing in the house. There is healing in the house. Come on, be healed in the name of Jesus. There is restoration. There is recovery. By the same anointing, every warfare against you, hallelujah, like Elijah did. He sent a whole army blind, confused, away from him. Let me tell you, that's the anointing that God has put in your life. You don't have to fear your enemy. God is greater than your enemy. Your battles are already won in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you give God a shout of praise right now and thank him for your victory? Thank him for your victory. Thank him for your victory in Jesus' name. Father, I want to thank you. And even as we close this service, everyone in need of that miracle is living here with a miracle. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. At every level, there's a greater, a lifting up. Lord, there's a circumcision, a taking away. There's a self-judgment. And we enter in a place of communion and restoration. Lord, we are coming to the place where we are winning our battles. Lord, no more are we going to go in circles. We have victory in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that it's the anointing, this treasure that we have in earthen vessels, that the excellency may be of God and not of us. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a great week. Hallelujah. Whatever it takes to get to Jordan. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.